Before we officially start, must give a special shout out to the boys over at Recovery. Much like myself and the lads, Chris and Ian are a couple of rugby fanatics like we all are. They've created various products with recovery in mind based around natural CBD remedies. Head over to their Instagram page or website and use the code FREEBLOKES, that's the number three, followed by the word blokes, for 10% off all their natural products and feel the benefit today.
Good afternoon, Woody. Good afternoon, everybody that's listening. My name is Jamie Robinson. Welcome to episode 116 of Three Blokes and the Rugby League podcast. I'm sure you're aware that Jed is sunning it up in Crete. And myself and Woody are here just having a good old chat. The season is officially finished now and we're rounding off as we speak as well. But we thought we'd just touch upon Super League in 2021. There's been a lot of good performances throughout the year. And today's topic of the week podcast is going to be about kind of our own personal top five most improved players of the season. Having a chat pre-podcast, we've realised that we've done five totally different players each. So we've got a good round number of 10. So we're going to bounce in between, aren't we, mate? So it's going to be a nice podcast. You might have some few disagreements. You might agree with a few posters, a message online if you do agree or disagree with a few. It's been a good season for some improved performances, on it, mate? So fire away with your first one, mate.
Will do, and I gladly managed to pick out players from five different clubs as well. So like you said there, if anyone disagrees or they have players they want to put up for it or mention, then give us a shout and certainly discuss them in the future. But kicking things off then, number one I've gone for most improved is Cruz Leeming at Leeds. For me, he's always been a really tidy operator, you know, throughout his Huddersfield days. He was there for 5 or 6 years when me and you were at uni, he was playing there. But he used to be seen as quite a bit more of an impact hooker when he was there than Sean Lumberstein. But I think the move to Leeds has been the making of him. This was his second season there now, and he's been a massive focal point this season. And he's actually led the team a lot as well from wherever he's played, whilst, you know, their playmaking options have rotated. They've had players out for quite long periods, you know, the likes of Luke Gale out for quite a while. Showed his versatility really well, playing in the halves, led them around the field. He's always been a threat ball in hand, but I think what he's added this season, especially for me, is a much improved kicking game. You know, just to highlight that point, he even hit a winning drop goal against Hull FC at Magic Weekend, which kind of sealed Leeds' entry to the playoffs. I think he's a massive reason that Leeds managed to actually get one game away from the grand final, especially after the start they had, and fully deserved his dream team appearance, and I think he'll definitely get a full England cap in the near future. I know he's involved in that combined All-Stars game. He's also got a nine Knights appearance as well, and he's actually only 26 as well, so you know, he's got plenty left in him and much more improving to do. Who's your first, mate?
Superb. So just to echo that on Cruz Leeming, he was probably one who just narrowly missed out of mine. I thought he's had a phenomenal season. Showed his versatility as well, coming out of the hooking role. He can play kind of in the halves as well. Speaking of halves, mate, I've gone with Mikey Lewis of Hull Kingston Rovers. Not so much, I know it's the most improved podcast and it's not like he's had a poor season and improved on it, but as a young lad that was coming in and filling a gap that probably wasn't necessarily his to fill. In our Super League previews way back when in February that we did, it was someone that we highlighted that we think could have been a prospect, but he's been a lot better than anybody could have thought, as has the Hull KR side in general. I think any Hull KR fan will tell you that he's probably arguably been their best back this year at all. He's so evasive, so good on his feet, very nimble for a halfback of his age as well. Just plays with no fear, got a brilliant in-play kicking game and loves the chip and chase. He, obviously, old school Mike Stebo Stevenson was still commentating. He'd love that chip and chase. And kind of the game that really brought him to the forefront of TV viewers was that game against Warrington in the playoffs a couple of weeks ago. Totally ripped Warrington to shreds with two international halfbacks of Gareth Widdop and George Williams. Thought it was brilliant, Mikey Lewis, and hopefully that Hull KR can keep hold of him. I think he's a Hull lad. I'm not entirely sure, but he's definitely a Hull KR product. So fair play to Mikey Lewis. I think he's maybe played a bit at York as well. So I think he's a fantastic player and he's done really, really well this year. And I think he's going to push on and do even better in the future.
Yeah, I'm with you there. He was one I definitely looked at as well. And you know, mentioned playing for York. I remember watching him in the 1885 Cup final against Feb. I think that was only back in July. He was scored for York then when they lost. So it's been a massive rise for him over a few months. He's playing in a Super League semi-final. And I've actually gone for a teammate of his, a half partner in Jordan Abdul, who's, you know, no doubt about it, how big a season he's had, even despite missing quite a big chunk of the season. He missed six games with fractured thumb. I think he only played 13 games in the end, made the Man of Steel shortlist. And he's a massive reason why Hull KR went from, you know, firm relegation candidates to reaching the playoffs. And similar to Leeming with Leeds, they're only one game off a grand final. Man of the Match awards coming out of his ears when he played. 13 tries and 4 assists in 13 games and took his game to new levels. And he's looking good for an England debut in, you know, what will be in just over a week's time when they record this, when we play against France. There's a few halves out for England, so I think he'd be very likely to be getting captain that one. He's shown a lot of promise before when he left Hull FC a few years ago, and that was quite contentious when he handed in a transfer request and went via London Broncos before ending up with Hull KR. But I think this was a really special season for him, despite, like I say, relatively few total appearances. So being really, really exciting to see what he can do next year if he can, you know, get 25 Super League games behind him.
Excellent stuff, mate. For my second one, I've gone for, I couldn't not do a Wakefield player in this. I know that we've not had the best season overall, but I think someone who's definitely improved on his previous seasons is someone like Joe Westerman. He's always been a really solid loose forward. He's even been capped for England as well and Great Britain. But I just feel like this season he's really taken the responsibility on his shoulders as the ball playing 13. He's been arguably our player of the season alongside players like Jay Pitts. And unfortunately, we are losing him back to his hometown club of Castleford. I just think he's one of these players that not only plays off confidence, but plays better when he is in a side that needs him. Not to say that he wasn't that type of player at Warrington or Hull, but when he's in a side that isn't dominated by international standard players or, you know, foreign players coming in from the NRL, Joe Westerman really stood up for us this year, and he's someone who breaks the line when you need him. So he can give a short ball at the try line if you need him. So he can run a short line if you need him. So he'll make 30, 40 tackles a game. And this year he's really stood up for us. And it's a big shame that he's leaving the club. And apparently he's a really good bloke. So obviously I don't know him personally, but apparently he's a really good bloke on and off the field. So a big shame. And he's a big, big capture for Castleford and Lee Radford over in 2022. But yeah, Joe Westerman is one of my most improved players of 2021 as well, mate.
Another forward named Joe for me then coming up third, and that's Joe Batchelor. And you know, just a few days ago, he started in his first Super League Grand Final. He made over 20 appearances for Saints this season, which, you know, is quite something considering just how good that Saints side is. And I think in his previous two seasons since going there in 2019, he only made 4 each season. So I think he's really established himself now in that Saints pack. And he's got into Super League the long way round. He came through at Coventry, moved to York and switched between the second row and the centre, scored a bucket load of tries at York and went on dual reg to Lee as well. And I think a lot of people thought maybe he wasn't actually that fancied at Saints, but, you know, at 26, he's established himself in that pack. And he's just a really energetic, hard-working player. And like I said, from that route he's taken, it just shows what massive perseverance and desire he's got to improve his game and make it in, you know, the best rugby league team around in this island at the minute.
Yeah, and I know he's not here to say it, but Jed would happily tell everyone that he's played with Joe Batchelor at England Colleges. So I'm just saying that on behalf of Jed, who'll be fuming if we don't cover that for him. So we can just see the perspective on rugby league careers that has gone there with Jed starring every single week for Kirkburton Cougars, obviously, as well. I've gone with another player who played this past weekend, mate, opposite Joe Batchelor. I've gone with Benjamin Garcia, now the captain at the Catalan Dragons since Remy Casti has dropped the reins and gone to Toulouse. He's a 28-year-old back row. He's Benjamin Garcia. He's got over 150 appearances for Catalan. He's not really someone that people haven't heard of. We know he went over to Penrith as well in 2016. Didn't make a first-grade appearance, but he's someone who's always taken risks and always someone who's been a workhorse. I called him a workhorse on Monday's podcast from the grand final. He's not a massive bloke. He's 5'11", which, you know, he's bigger than I am, but he's someone who, a Super League loose forward, you think of kind of Sean O'Loughlin, Paul Sculthorpe, you know, 6'2", 6'3", but he's someone who always plays above his weight, I feel. And this year he's definitely coming to his own. I don't know if that's because he's been given the captaincy. I don't know if it's because Catalan have made the grand final for the first time ever, but I feel like he's a really good ball playing loose forward, and he's someone who just gets stuck in, makes at least 35 plus tackles a game, very rarely shirks his weight away. And primarily he's a prop forward or a second row as well. So he's filled in and taken the 13 shirt this year. Really impresses me. He's got 11 caps for France already, and hopefully he can build on that. We know how much conversation there is around the French national side and how little attention they get. And it would be great if France could build upon what Catalan have done this year. And Benjamin Garcia, as a 28-year-old, should be the forefront of that, in my opinion. But Benjamin Garcia, I don't know if you agree on that one, mate, but I think he's a player that has come into the forefront in positive reasons this year.
Completely agree with that, mate. It's a great shout, shining a bit of a light on Benjamin Garcia. And next up for me is actually a teammate of his, club and country, it's Arthur Morg. shown plenty of what he can do since making his Super League debut. He's only 22 now, but he actually debuted back in 2018. I think he's caused more havoc than ever this season. You know, had the man of steel in front of him in the fullback position at Catalans, which is his position of favour, but he adapted really well and filled in a lot of position, you know, filled in the hooker, filled in the halves, played on the wing as well, showed what an excellent playmaking utility he is. Still obviously has work on, you know, struggled a little bit under the high ball when Tompkins was out in the semi-final, but he's going to continue to give defenders nightmares and going to have an even bigger role next season. And just to kind of display how much he took on this season, even kicked his goals when called upon and actually kicked 15 out of 16 this season. So, you know, there's another string to his bow there.
Excellent stuff. I didn't realise that. That's superb. And I totally agree with Matt. I think when Tompkins decides to either maybe go in the halves next year in terms of James Maloney changing clubs, and I feel like Arthur Morg's fullback position is there for the next 10 years for Catalan Dragons if he wants that and if he works hard for it. Talking about someone who kind of came out of nowhere in terms of his positioning is Kane Linnett. He's my fourth one. Jed, once again, if he was here, he would wax lyrical about the fact that Kane Linnett played for the Cowboys in a grand final and won it. He played for the Roosters in a grand final about 10 plus years ago. Primarily, he's been a centre most of his career and not the most impressive centre in terms of he wasn't making Origin appearances, he wasn't making World Cup appearances, but he was always a solid centre. He's put on a bit more timber since he's been at OKR in a positive sense, and he's moved into the second row position now with kind of SKD and Ryan all outside of him. They've been a really formidable edge position now as well, and Kane Linnett has been so strong this year. I think he's picked up a couple of awards at the OKR end of season do as well, and if he hasn't, he certainly deserves it. He's been superb. He got into the dream team, I believe, as well, and he's certainly earning some plaudits in the OKR dressing room and in the fans and in the ground as well. Done really, really well this year, and I think he's not only improved as a player, but it's great to see someone who's so versatile progress into a different position, even though positionally on the field, going from centre to second row isn't too much, but to think of the logistics of the position and kind of what you're doing in terms of your technique, in terms of how your tackle technique has to change, in terms of your running position, in terms of your links with the halfback, it's very different in second row to centre. And I think he's done superb with that as well. So fair play to Kane Linnett. And I know he's knocking on an age now, but I think he's still got another season or two in Super League. And it's brilliant playing. I think he'll go in and improve even more.
Certainly will. And rounded me out then, I've gone for another youngster in Harry Smith at Wigan. I think there's been a lot of young players who have kind of broken out this season and could be mentioned, but I really think Harry Smith deserves a shout for how he applied himself in what was a difficult season for Wigan by their high standards. But he filled in really well, and you know, he had the likes of Zach Hardacre, Bevan French, Tommy Lolowar, Jay Fielder unavailable in that spine, and he was having to pick up a lot of the slack. You know, at such a young age, he's 22 as well. He's had to do a lot of growing up on and off the pitch, I imagine, a short space of time, and probably shouldered a bit more responsibility than he should have to at his age. He's actually 21, I correct myself, but I think he's done his game the world of good having to do that. He was decent last season in 2020, breaking through, but got a real maturity about him now, you know, to go along with the creativity and the box of tricks he had last season. So they look forward to seeing what he does in 2020, especially when, you know, they've got a few of those other spine players back in as well for him to work alongside.
Yeah, it's once again, it's disgusting the amount of talent that Wigan have got coming through, and he'll probably once again be there for a good couple of years, and hopefully Wigan can kind of turn it around as well. We know about that. Last but not least for me, mate, I have gone with future Casper player as well. I've gone with Westerman already, and I've gone with his future teammate in Jake Mamo. He's one of these players that has seemed to bounce around between clubs. He's only 27. He's played at Newcastle in the NRL. He's played at Huddersfield, and he's played at Warrington already. He played at Widnes on loan, and now he's going to Castleford. But I thought this year was his best season in a jersey in the professional game. He's never made more than 50 appearances for a club, so it shows that he likes to bounce around. And it's the same kind of on the field. He's very versatile. He can fill in at fullback. He can fill in on the wing, at centre, in the halves as well. But he's a top player. And I think he's kind of line-breaking ability has improved this year as well. He's picked up a lot of tries this year. And I've got a couple of good mates who are Warrington fans, and they've been really, really impressed with him. I think he's just a top player, and I think he'll do really well at Castleford. Castleford kind of, under Darryl Powell, obviously, they're going to have a different type of leadership in Lee Radford, but they've progressed really well in the past couple of years with these type of utility players that can kind of fill in any gaps whatsoever, like your Greg Edens and your Zach Hardacres and so on and so forth. And I think he'll do really well, will Jake Mamo at Castleford, depending on how long he'll be there. I don't know. He seems to be one of these blokes that is more than happy to do anything but rugby league during the week, but when he plays it on the weekend, he absolutely loves it. So, superb stuff, and hopefully we could maybe get him on the podcast sometime in the future as well. But great player, and once again, massive improvements for me. So I've gone with Mikey Lewis, Joe Westerman, Benjamin Garcia, Kane Lynette, and Jake Mamo. Just passing over briefly to you, mate, and any other thoughts just before we round off?
Yeah, I'm just glad me and you managed to pick five different players each, which is a good start, and kind of didn't get stumped picking up some other ones. But yeah, there's been some really great improvements in Super League Latino from more established players and also younger ones, and hopefully continues into next season. And just to round up and confirm my five then, I had Cruz Lehman, Jordan Abdul, Joe Batchelor, Arthur Morg, and Harry Smith. And like I said earlier, any disagreements, any suggestions from anyone, please fire them in, and you know, we're happy to discuss and debate them.
Excellent stuff, mate. Thank you, everybody, for listening to episode 116 of Three Blokes and the Rugby League Podcast. Topic of the week. Chuck us a few suggestions as well for any future topic of the week that you want us to cover. We love doing this type of spitballing stuff where we can kind of fire our own opinion back and forth, and we have a couple of good, consistent fans who fire theirs at us as well. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will catch you all down the road.